Now, we never hear about this in the mainstream media. We're told continually by some politicians and certainly by the media that same-sex marriage doesn't affect anyone else's marriage. It has no consequences for anyone else. But you're saying it breaks this bond of matrimony. I'd never thought of the word matrimony as having to do with mother and child. But this is just never discussed in the mainstream press.
Lyle, it breaks all marriages. Because I was sitting in America a couple of months after their definition of marriage was changed, and I looked around this restaurant. None of those married men and women, none of them have the same marriage they used to have, because marriage has now become purely an adult romantic affair, a relationship between any two adults of any sex with no further meaning than that. What they signed up to is marriage. Being the vocation of a man and a woman given by nature itself to undertake the great task of creating a home and a new family, a new generation. That great vocation, that great honourable life task has been degraded into a mere romantic association between any two people. That's gone. But more importantly, Lyle, the relationship between all parents and all children is redefined when you change marriage. As the great lawyer Margaret Somerville pointed out, when Canada changed its make Brunning gay marriage, they changed all of the legal reference to natural parents and made it legal parents. Now, a natural parent is a fundamental natural relationship which government has to respect, has to stand back and let natural parenthood prevail. But once you abolish natural parents because you've got rid of natural marriage, all parents and all children are related by a government definition which the government can damn well change whenever it likes. It's a legal fiction, and no parents and children any longer have a natural relationship. They have a legal fiction for a relationship.
These are
profound. You're playing into the hands of big government. People have no idea.
Absolutely. This is a huge change. It's a social injustice to children, as you've so eloquently said. But the other big consequence is something that you have felt the full force of personally, and this is the consequence to free speech and free argument. Now you've actually been taken off to an anti-discrimination tribunal commission in Queensland for something you wrote about the rights of the child. Can you just tell us about that experience?
Sure. It was an article in the Courier Mail, and they had a for and against forum. So I was asked to write the case against gay marriage, and someone else wrote the other one. And in it, I pointed out that, yes, these are the exact words that got me taken to the court, right up to the commission, which was a great experience for me. I enjoyed it because it gave me a chance to teach this gay activist a lesson in how men conduct their debate on matters of public concern. You don't set lawyers onto your opponent like he did. You just argue your case. And by the end of it, he conceded and he ran away and he withdrew his stupid complaint. But on the way, This is what I'd said. I'd said, yes, it is discrimination to prohibit the marriage of two men, but it is a far worse case of discrimination to allow this and thereby abolish a mother from the life of any child created within that marriage, or words to that effect. I haven't quoted it quite right. But I basically said, of course we discriminate against two men by saying they can't marry, because they can't. It's not possible, because marriage is by definition a natural institution of male and female. But more importantly, they can't, because that would impose a far worse injustice on children who will be created by surrogacy or adoption or whatever under this new institution. Not by tragic circumstance, Lyle. These kids won't miss out on their mum because their mum's died or there's a divorce. These kids in the future will miss out on their mother because an act of parliament today decreed that they will miss out.
So for saying these things, you had to front up to a tribunal.
We all
know in Tasmania, the Archbishop Julian Porteous is also before the State Anti-Discrimination Commission for saying similar things, beautifully expressed, not discriminatory, not bigoted or hatred against any person, but just upholding this beautiful definition of marriage and the importance for it for children. There's two examples. I guess the sort of things you and I are talking about now are the sort of things that can trigger the state-based anti-discrimination laws. That's a real problem. And what is going to happen if the federal definition of marriage is changed? That will just, I think, turbocharge these state anti-discrimination laws and make it very difficult for these sort of discussions to occur in the future.
Well, actually, Lyle, from wide reading into the sort of activist literature on gay marriage and gay issues, that's actually the main objective. gay thinkers, gay activists don't really care about gay marriage. They actually despise it. They always have despised marriage.
Mm.
It's a bourgeois, heteronormative, slightly religious, patriarchal, repressive thing that cramps your gay style. So they despise it. They always have. But in the mid-90s, they realized that there was this new thing in town called anti-discrimination law. And if you normalize homosexual marriage in law, you have normalized homosexual behavior in all its manifestations with the force of law. And that gives you two things. It gives you control of the curriculum so that all children with gay marriage brought in, all children must be taught that homosexual behavior is no different to the relationship of their mum and dad, that it is normal and natural and right. And if parents disagree, too bad. It's the law of the land. You've missed your chance. It's gone. And the second thing is they have the big stick of anti-discrimination law to beat the churches and other conscientious objectors into submission. And that is what they are trying to do now, but we can resist it now. We will not be able to resist it when gay marriage is the law of the land, and they know that, and this is why they want it.
Well, David, look, our time has run, unfortunately, and there's much more we could say on this. But I think you've given us three very clear reasons. The rights of the child to their mother and father, the freedom of speech issues not to be dragged off to a tribunal, and, of course, what is to be taught to our kids in schools. And we've talked previously about this so-called safe schools curriculum, which is already in Australian schools. 2016 is going to be another big year for marriage. It's going to be another year where we're all going to need to resist and to stand up and to be engaged in this plebiscite discussion whenever it comes after the next election. So, David, thanks for being on the front line. We look forward to hearing more from you and the Australian Marriage Forum.
And, Lyle, thanks to you, because we all owe you a debt of gratitude for having taken the burden of this for many years. Thank you so much.
The Political Spot from the Australian Christian Lobby at www.acl.org.au.